Thank you, Rocky, for the songs. Thank you, Jason and Jimmy, for excellent prayers, and for Isaac and all mentioned the things of the troubles and the problems that we have in life. And we're going to talk about that this morning, because all that brings anxiety. And the only way to triumph over anxiety is to know God. You don't have to try to get rid of your anxiety. You just need to try to know God, because if you know God and are in Christ, there is no reason for any anxiety. We've been studying through the book of 1 Peter. It's been a good study, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Should have about one more lesson after the one today, because I'm only going to get one verse today. Peter starts his book. He's talking to people that's under persecution. Nero is the emperor. Persecution is on the rise, and it'll get worse in the days of Domitian and following. And the book was written to give encouragement to Christians to hold on to their faith in the midst of trials and persecutions. So he begins that book by telling them they have a salvation that can't be touched by anybody. He says we've been begotten anew by the grace of God, by the resurrection of Jesus. And we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away. It's reserved in heaven by the power of God for you. He tells you that you are so precious in God's sight that you're an elect race, and that you are a people for God's own possession, that we may show forth the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And from that point, he goes on and explains how we do that. And he talks about us being in subjection, putting ourselves in subjection to show the world how Christ lived and how Christ lives in us. We're to be in subjection to the government, not in rebellion. We're to be in subjection to our bosses, to those that have authority over us, whatever that is. We're to be in subjection unto God in our marriage relationships. And then he goes from there and talks about the great privilege of suffering for Christ, and how that brings glory to God in all that suffering. And when he gets through with that, he gets to chapter 5. And he tells you the organization of the church that makes us strong so that we can stand against all the problems that we face in this earth. He says, first off in chapter 5, the first four verses, the church needs good leadership. We need men that have the oversight of the church, that are shepherds of the flocks of God. And then he'll say to the rest of us how we line up underneath that oversight, over those that are shepherding us as the flock of God. He'll tell us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us. And he makes 6 commands. There are 6 imperatives from verse 5 down through 9. These are commands of God for us in our lives. Therefore, these become the law of the Christian life. He tells you, he says, likewise, ye younger, be in subjection. That's an imperative. Be in subjection to the elders. Yea, and all you gird yourselves with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Verse 7 that we're going to talk about today, he says, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. That is an aorist participle. It's not an imperative, which we will show how that lines up. Then he goes on and says, be sober, be watchful. All these are imperative. These are commands. Be watchful, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same suffering has been accomplished by your brethren in this world. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will perfect you, establish you, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen, he says. Six commands that tells us how the Christian is to live. He says, cast all your anxieties on him, for because he cares for you. Casting. Now, I put the Greek word up there because it's not the normal word for to cast. If you're going to throw something in the original language, it would use the word balo. This word here speaks of something that is thrown on something else. The word balo was just emphasize the fact you're throwing something. This word emphasizes the fact that you're throwing it on somebody else, on something else. You're taking what's in your hand and you're putting it on somebody else. This participle, this is an aorist active participle. Now, an aorist participle speaks of point action which takes place before the finite verb. So this participle is closely connected with the imperative, humble yourself. Humble yourself, showing that the true Christian attitude is not a negative attitude. It's not self-abandonment, but involves the expression of one self-humbling himself to the positive and trusting of oneself and his troubles to God. Laying it all on God. When you cast something, as soon as that leaves your hand, it's no longer yours. It's not yours. From that point on, it's not yours. And this verb stresses the point that I've said is throw something upon something else. The point is you're getting rid of all your anxiety and you're putting it right on God. And when you do that, it's no longer yours. We as Christians have no excuse for anxiety. We have no right to be anxious, because our God takes care of us. This passage here, Peter quotes the Septuagint version of Psalms 55:22. The Hebrew version, which we read, says, cast your burden on Jehovah, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him. The psalmist says, cast all your burdens on Jehovah, and he will sustain thee. It's God that takes care of you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be not anxious for tomorrow. Live for today. Don't borrow problems from another time. Tomorrow may not even come. As we have said, as Rocky spoke of Rhonda, lost her husband, Julie, many of us, Leila, her father and Steve's father. Don't worry about tomorrow, it may not be here. Live for Christ today. Every day, live your life for Christ. This is talking about confidence and certainty because he cares for us. Somebody's calling. My watch is buzzing, but I've got my phone turned off, so you can't hear it. By the way, Penny, it's about your appointment with Dr. Lund. Because that's why I come up, Dr. Lund. Anxiety is not talking about being or having a flippant attitude about life. We're not talking about that. It's not the lack of planning. It's not even the lack of concern for what needs to be done. That's not anxiety. Anxiety is worry that interferes. It interferes with our right thinking. It interferes with our prayers. It interferes with our Bible reading. It interferes with our Bible study. We've all been there. You get ready to pray, and as you're trying to pray to God, this burden that you're wearing, this anxiety comes in there and it interferes. That's the anxiety that's forbidden. The anxiety that interferes with our devotion to God, our devotion and service to God's people. It is worry that interferes with all of our service to God. Anxiety shows that we don't trust God. Because God said, I have it. Because he cares for you. Anxiety says, God can't take care of me. Anxiety says, we don't know God. We don't trust God. We don't trust his promises. Anxiety shows our little faith. We don't trust in the sovereignty of God. Our God is sovereign. That means our God controls everything. To be anxious would mean that we don't believe he has everything under control. He is not ruling everything, which sovereignty means. It means we don't trust his omnipotence, his power to take care of us. It means we don't trust his omniscience. He doesn't know what's going on. That's what anxiety tells God. Remember a passage we use, a passage that all of us ought to be able to quote from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in Jehovah with all of your heart. Trust not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will guide your paths. Jesus warns us about the error of anxiety. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the beginning of his ministry, he says in chapter 6, verse 24 and following, "No man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, cling to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon." Serving mammon is talking about worldly possessions, and that brings anxiety. You can't serve God and be anxious over the things of this world. He goes on to say, "Wherefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heavens, they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which one of you, being anxious, could add one cubit to the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you, this Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed as like as one of these. If God does so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow's cast in heaven, will he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what you shall eat, or what shall we drink, or where we shall be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your Father knows you need all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Be not anxious for the morrow be anxious for itself. Sufficient in the day is the evil thereof." I don't know how many times Jesus used the word anxious. I didn't count them. But Jesus, in that teaching, sets anxiety over against seeking the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Choose what you're going to do. He says the anxious is because they have little faith, not enough faith to hold them. It's not a trust in God. Paul just writes it down. In Philippians, gives you the same teaching, and he uses the imperative, just like Jesus throughout that passage in Matthew 6 said, you don't be anxious. Paul says in Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Rejoicing is the opposite of anxiety. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. If the Lord is at hand, you have no reason to be anxious. And then he makes a command, verse 6. In nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. That's an imperative. But in everything, let your request by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do, and the peace of God will be with you. Peace is opposite of anxiety. Jesus came to bring peace, not trouble. And if we're in Christ, he says you rejoice. Rejoicing is the opposite of anxiety. Anxiety gives you the peace that passes all understanding. The opposite of anxiety in Christ gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And then he tells you in verse 8 and 9 where to keep your thoughts and your mind. Those things are opposite of anxiety. God promised us everything. Philippians 1, 6, he tells, being confident of this very thing, he that began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ. He goes on in chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply every need of yours in riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. As Isaac talked about giving of your money, giving of your time. He tells the brethren in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 9, 8, he says, God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work. God does not fail you. Hebrews 13, 20, as he closes out that great book of Hebrews, he said, the God of peace, here again, peace. Peace, you cannot have anxiety and have peace. The God of peace who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen, he says. Everything God does, even to giving his own son, God proves that he loves you enough that he will not withhold anything from you. I have 4 kids, and I would sure hate to have to give up any one of them for somebody else. But our God, the Creator, the Sovereign of this universe, the transcendent God that's greater than we can even imagine, gave up the most precious thing in this whole universe because he loves us. He has one son, and he put him on a cross that he could save us. And if we're in that Christ, we have no reason to be anxious about anything. God is in total control. Total control. Romans 8, 31, beautiful passage. What can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He gave the most precious thing in this universe because he loves us that much. And do you think he would turn around and do something to destroy us or let us be destroyed? Who shall slay anything to the God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus that died, yea, rather rose from the dead at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. And in like manner, the Spirit also helps us, for we know not how to pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. in groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, for he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's 26 and 27 in chapter 8 of Romans. Because he cares for you. Because he cares for you. You notice an ETH on the end of my translation? And people nowadays don't understand that language. That tells you that is a present present active indicative verb. The present tense in Greek means continual action. My God is continually, Peter says, is continually caring for you. Now, it's not the same word as the anxiety up above there, which some translation says, cast all your cares upon him. It's not the same word. The word up there for anxiety, which is forbidden, is anxiety about worldly things. As I said before, anything that would distract your mind from its devotion and dedication to prayer, to holy living, to serving God and serving the brethren. God careth. He is continually caring for you. He proved it at the cross. He came to save souls. His caring for you is all bound up in his sovereignty, his holiness, and his providence that guides and takes care of us. He works to save our souls. He works to expand his kingdom for the salvation of souls. And he does that through any means. If he would put his son on the cross to save us, then we might need to go to the cross to save others. He says, hereunto you, in 1 Peter 2:21, hereunto were you called because he suffered for you, leaving an example that we should walk in his steps. Herein we know love. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. He came to save souls. And because of that, it causes suffering. But whatever God gives you, be assured, he is sovereign. He has everything under his control, and he knows what's going on in your life and in everybody's life, and if it happens, it's because it's according to God's will. And we often don't understand that. But we, in our finite mind, cannot comprehend the infinite wisdom of God. And when we don't understand, as we said before, just trust God because he is the Father of lights. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, this is the message we received and given to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Only light in God. He doesn't do anything that's contrary to our salvation. There is no darkness in God. Listen to Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time's eternal. Eternal life is ours. And however God works that out in our lives, that's God's business. We just trust in God. James 1, passage we use often, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there can be no variation, no shadow cast with turning. Of his own self, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. He does it, everything for our good. If we have COVID, it's because God wants us to show the world how Christians handle adversity. And all these things don't make us anxious, because we know that God does it for our good, for the good of his kingdom, the salvation of souls, and that eternal life belongs to us, and nothing can touch that in Christ. James also says, starting in verse 2 of chapter 1, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking in nothing." All our troubles and strifes and sorrows are for our good, or we wouldn't get them. God is in control. He goes on in verse 5, says, "If any man lacketh wisdom," and he's talking about in the context of suffering. If you don't understand it, if you lack wisdom about this, he says, "Ask of God, who giveth liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Since God cares for you, the experience of this life is not to break you, but to make you." To make you exactly what God would have you be, to live eternally with him in heaven. The Almighty God loves his children. He is concerned with everything about your life. That's the reason he says, "In nothing be anxious, in everything let your request be known unto God." He's interested in all of our good and our welfare. His eyes are always watching out for you. We in Christ are the apple of God's eyes, which he states in the Old Testament. The apple of God's eyes means that which is most precious, but needs protecting. An eye is vulnerable. In Christ, God's purpose, Christ's purpose, is to save lost sinners unto eternal life with him. In Christ, having all the promises of God, we have no reason for anxiety. The statement, "because he careth for you," should drive all anxiety out of your life. That should take care of it. Outside of Christ, there's every reason for extreme anxiety, because your end is terrible. Your end is outside of Christ. The one watching over you is Satan. And as Christ does everything for your good, Satan does everything for your destruction. Give your life to God through Jesus Christ. Have the peace that passes understanding. It brings no anxiety. It brings peace and joy. If anybody is outside of Christ, you can have nothing but anxiety. In Christ, God removes all anxiety, gives you peace and joy. If you need to come to Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to return to Christ, or have any problems, that the church can help you with, come forward. Rocky's going to lead us in a song. We'll stand up and sing, and you can come forward and state whatever we can do to help you. Christ can save you and make you eternally have glory with God in heaven while we stand and sing.